Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Appreciate everybody being here. Thank God for his blessings. We had a great time this morning in our sunrise service. The Lord blessed, and thank God for those that cooked and prepared the meal. We had a great time of fellowship with our breakfast. Amen. If you missed that, you missed a blessing. But looking forward to what God's going to do right now. Amen. Luke chapter 24, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word, if you're able. Very familiar scripture. We've been going over the Easter story for the last few weeks, and if you will come to our play, you saw that on display. Amen. I want to preach a little while this morning on this thought. I refuse to stay dead.
Amen.
I refuse to stay dead. Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? We ought to take a time right there and just shout it out right now. Amen. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, and beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, help us right now, Lord, as we get into this message. I pray, God, you would touch hearts. Holy Ghost, I pray, God, you would move in this service right now, Lord. You speak to who needs to be spoken to, God. And God, you revive who needs to be revived. Save that one that's lost. And we'll praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus died, or really, in reality, Jesus gave up the ghost. Just like David said in Sunday school this morning, they could not kill him. They beat his body till his body should have been dead, but they could not kill him. You can't kill the one that gives life, amen?
Amen.
So Jesus basically had to give up the ghost. All four Gospels account of Jesus' death. History tells, if you didn't do nothing but look at the Bible says there's over 500 witnesses that witnessed Jesus being resurrected or witnessed Jesus after he had died. But now if we just take the Bible account, that's one thing. Everybody in here, we can shout it out. But there's somebody in there might be skeptical. So let's look at what historians have to say about this situation. At least three non-Christians also reported the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross in Jerusalem under Pontius Pilate. The first of these was Cornelius Tacitus. It's a Roman historian. He wrote so early in the second century, and it said the name comes from Christ, who during the reign of Tiberius had been executed by the procurator Pontius Pilate. Then there's the testimony of the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus. He basically said this: about this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, for he was one who wrought surprising feats and was a teacher of such people as accepted the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. When Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standard among us, had condemned him to be crucified, those who had in the first place come to love him did not give up their affections for him. For the prophets of God had prophesied these and countless other marvelous things about him. And the tribe of Christians, the tribe of Christians, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared. Then there's a third non-Christian that wrote about the crucifixion. It comes from the Babylonian Talmud, which was written as a direct attack on Christianity, but nevertheless reported the crucifixion. On the eve of Passover, they hanged Yeshua, and the herald went before him 40 days, saying, Yeshua is going forth to be stoned, in that he hated practiced sorcery and beguiled and led Israel straight. And I want you to understand something this morning. Jesus died. There's no question about that. You get talking to some people, they'll say, well, Jesus just passed out, or Jesus, some scholars call it swooned. But I want you to understand, Jesus died. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must needs go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. Jesus did, in fact, die. Jesus did, in fact, tell everybody he was going to die. And Jesus did, in fact, tell everybody, not only am I going to die, I'm coming back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ain't nobody else in history ever done that.
Amen.
There've been a lot of people died. There've been a few people resurrected in the Bible. But ain't nobody ever told you, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to get myself back up. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 and 23, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again, and they were exceeding sorry. This same passage is talked about in Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 20, the Bible says, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Thank God Jesus knew what he was talking about. John chapter 12, Jesus basically said this. When the woman was anointing his feet, he said, let her alone. She's doing this to my burial. The Bible talk goes on in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus told, as Jonas was 3 days in the whale, 3 nights in the whale's belly, Jesus, he said, the Son of Man is going to be 3 days in the belly of the earth. John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up again. He was not talking about a building. He was talking about the temple of his body. Jesus was the only one that ever said stuff like this and could do something about it.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody else at that point that had been raised from the dead, Lazarus, he died. The widow of Nain's son, he died. And understand something, but not Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Jesus, by his own testimony, he said, I am the one that died on the cross. I am the one that gave up the ghost. I am the one they placed in the tomb. I am the one that was in the tomb 3 days. I am the one that came out on the third day alive. I am the one that's still alive today. And Jesus said, I'm going to be the one that's going to be alive forevermore.
Amen.
So what led up to Jesus' death? We all know the story. I'm going to kind of go through this a little quickly, okay? Luke 22. And while he yet spake these things, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus saith unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Betrayal. Now listen to this. This is what betrayal is. The act of exposing or delivering someone to an enemy through treachery or disloyalty. Another form of betrayal, the act of disappointing a person's trust, hopes, or expectation. Another one is the act of revealing information in violation of confidence or failure to honor or keep a promise. Judas did all these things to Jesus. Every one of these things. He betrayed his confidence. He betrayed his trust. He betrayed his friendship. He betrayed his Lord. But Jesus died anyway. We know what caused Jesus' death, the scourging, the crucifixion, but Jesus had to give up the ghost. David said something this morning, and I saw a picture about this last week. It showed a picture of what Jesus would have probably looked like after the whipping post, and his back was exposed. You could see his ribs. Understand something. When that cat of nine tails reached in and grabbed that skin and they snatched it off, understand something. They were pulling off flesh. They were pulling off blood. They were pulling off vessels. They were pulling off muscles, and no doubt that his back was exposed. Amen. I went back and watched the crucifixion scene and the whipping post scene from the Passion of Christ, and I saw it in there when they had beat Jesus on the back. Jesus had basically turned over, and the guy basically looked at him and said, like right there, they turned you, and then started whipping him on the other side. I thought it was right when we did our play this year, and I don't remember who was doing it. I think it might have been Justin. When he had that cat of nine tails, and he was whipping Jesus, and he did it so hard that the whip broke. Let me tell you something. Jesus suffered for you and I. Jesus went Jesus went all the way for you and I, but they still couldn't kill him. He had to give up the ghost, and after death, Jesus was placed in a tomb. I thought about it as I was studying this. They took the Son of God. Now we can all get happy about it being a borrowed tomb. Borrowed or what? It was still a grave. Borrowed or not, it was still a mat. It was still a place cut out into a mountain. It was still damp. It was still dark. It was still lonely. It was still an empty place. After death, that's where they placed our Savior. But Jesus didn't stay dead. Things getting ready to pick up. Understand something. I told somebody this morning, I believe when they put Jesus... We get a picture in our mind, Brother Robert, that they put Jesus in there and Jesus laid there for 3 days. That ain't what happened. Amen. That ain't what happened. I believe when they rolled a door in front of the stone, I believe that's when Jesus got up. I believe Jesus got up at that point. The Bible says, understand, the Bible tells us that Jesus was busy during those 3 days. And understand, he was not in the tomb for a period of 3 24-hour days. I counted up one time. It could have been as little as 30 to 35 hours that Jesus was actually in the tomb. But the Jews counted days, they counted 3 days. Amen. But understand, Colossians chapter 2 tells us this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it away, nailing it to a cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. That's why he was in the grave. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Not that he ascended. What is it? But he also descended from first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended above heavens, that he might fill for all things. Understand, so when Jesus got in that grave, Jesus had a job to do. He went down into the depths of what we call hell. The Hebrew word is Shiloh. He went down in there, and the Bible, we know there was a gulf. On one side was those that had died looking for the promise. On the other side was those that had died in their sins. And Jesus had to go down, and all those that were in captivity down in Abraham's bosom, he preached to them. They accepted him, glory to God, as their personal Savior. He led captivity captive. He led them out, took them up to heaven where he was going to be at. Yeah. All that while he was in the grave. He didn't stay dead. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us this. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. Jesus did not get out of that grave, go to the temple that was on that temple mount, walk in there with them high priest and go back in there. But Jesus went to God himself. Amen. Jesus went to the mercy seat himself, took his own blood, placed it on that mercy seat. And all them dead animals all throughout the years, Wes, that they went in there and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat. And then basically it was just a covering. It was just trying to suffice, glory to God. That's what it was, trying to suffice for sin. But when Jesus sprinkled his blood on that mercy seat, the mercy seat cried out, satisfied, satisfied. No more blood will have to be here. No more blood will ever have to be sprinkled on this mercy seat, because the perfect blood has been sprinkled. It's satisfied for all eternity. Amen. Jesus didn't stay dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Even though they betrayed him, he didn't stay dead. Even though they betrayed him, he didn't stay dead. Even though they beat him unmercifully, even though they crucified him and spit on him, he didn't stay dead. Even though they mocked him and laughed at him and railed against him, even though they made fun of him, even though they crucified him, even though he went through the most horrible death that anyone through history had ever been through, he refused to stay dead. That's a pretty good introduction, wasn't it? The sermon's going to take about 10 minutes. And I want you to think about what I'm getting ready to tell you. We have the same power spiritually over spiritual death that Jesus had over physical death. Amen. There's not a person in this building that hadn't been betrayed. Every one of us. You know what the most hurtful thing is? Church hurt. Not a person in this building that ain't never had church hurt, probably. Not one of us that ain't been betrayed at some point in our life. There's not a one of us that at some point in our life hadn't felt like we've been in an empty place. It hadn't felt like we've been in that tomb. It hadn't felt like we've been in that lonely place. And we spiritually, we've been there spiritually. We don't feel saved spiritually. We don't feel like going to church spiritually. We don't feel like Jesus loves us spiritually. We don't feel like nobody loves us spiritually. We all know what it means to be placed in a dark, damp, lonely place. Every one of us at some point have had to go through all these things. Every one of us at some point spiritually have been beaten and almost felt like you were crucified. They did all these things to Jesus, but he refused to stay dead. So my message this morning is, I refuse to stay dead. Spiritually, I've got the power. Spiritually, I've got that power within me to refuse to stay dead. Even though they mock me, I ain't staying dead. Even though they spit on me, I ain't staying dead. Even though they want to betray me, I'm not staying dead. Let me tell you something. If I choose to stay dead, I choose to stay in the tomb. I don't want to be there. I'm gonna do like David. The Bible says that sometimes David just had to encourage himself. Glory to God. Sometimes you just gotta pull up the bootstraps. Sometimes you just gotta say, I'm not staying dead. That's what the devil wants. The devil's doing his very best to defeat you. The Bible says it in 1 Peter 5, hey, but he's seeking a Roman about seeking whom he may devour. And if I let him win, that's my choice. I'm not staying dead. I'm not, hey, if I give up on God right now and I give up on Jesus right now, that would be a disservice to Jesus. Jesus went to gave his very life so that you and I didn't have to die and go to hell. Everything Jesus went through, and he refused to stay dead. Why in the world would I refuse to stay? It's my choice. It's Robert's choice. It's Charlie's choice. shouldn't sit on the front row. I'll pick on you. This man's sitting up on the front row. How many bypasses? Two bypasses. Had a hard time getting over that stuff. He was out of church for several weeks. And then finally, I look back one, maybe a Wednesday night, I can't remember now, and there sat Charlie. He eased into church. You could tell he didn't have real good color at that time. He just eased into church. He wasn't moving real quick, but glory to God, he was here. Amen. He had to make up his mind. I'm getting back in.
Yep.
He had to make up his mind. He could have made up his mind and said, I'm going to stay down here in this house. I'm not going back out there. I'm too weak. I'm too frail. I done went through enough. I don't need to go. No, but he made up his mind. I refuse to die. I refuse to stay dead. Let me tell you something. I've been crucified over the years spiritually. But glory to God, guess what? I'm still here.
Yeah.
What's your excuse? What's your excuse? Some of y'all having a hard time getting back in there like you need to. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Brother Ronnie, he'd been betrayed by a best friend. That'd be enough right there to get most of us out of church. How many times you been betrayed over the years, David? Tony, how many times you been betrayed over the years in church? Robert? But look where they at. So what you going to do this morning? On this Easter morning, you got a choice to make. Some of y'all know what it means to be in there faithful and feel the presence of God and know what it means to come to church and have the tears roll down your face because the power of God's moving in your life. And you know what it means to feel Jesus. But somebody betrayed you. Somebody made you mad. Somebody did something. Somebody did that. So the peanut butter's too hard. One excuse as good as another one.
Amen.
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 One excuse is as good as another one.
Amen.
So what's going to be your excuse today?
Come on.
I don't know about you, but I refuse to stay dead. Let me tell you something. There have been times spiritually, Tony and David, and all you deacons, they've been times spiritually that they rolled us into the tomb. They've been times spiritually that they rolled a stone in front of the door and said, yep, they done with. But guess what? I'm still here.
Yeah.
Amen. I refuse to stay dead. What's going on in your life? What's going on in your life? Sometimes you just got to make up your mind, I'm going to do what's right. If it hair lips everybody, I'm going to do what's right. If it makes everybody else mad, I'm going to do what's right. Amen? I want you to bow your heads with me.